Now, this is the second of one of those conversations I said we'd bring back with regards to kings and priests. And I apologize that we didn't do this back to back. We broke it up with something else that we did last Sunday. But anyway, kings and priests, still a timely discussion. So here it is. Conceivable joy. How are you liking that, ladies and gentlemen? You know, I'm going to have to let you hear some more of that. In the meantime, let me let you know, I appreciate you for joining me, Carl Thornton Jr., host of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are in time for another edition of Spiritual Perspectives. We're moving on again from the place where we were. You know, we had talked for quite some time, several weeks, about the notion that Christians are gods. And my big question as I covered that was this: can 21st century Christians be bewitched as the Colossians had been? So you think about it. You have people who are Christians who were converted soon after the Lord Jesus had left this earth. And while the disciples who learned directly from him were still walking the earth, including one who learned directly from him, although he did not walk with Jesus while Jesus was on the earth, because he came into contact with Jesus after Jesus had died. Talking about the Apostle Paul. And so he learned, though, as he said himself, directly from the Master. And when it was time, he went out and he began the ministry that God had called him to. Years after this man had been ministering, but he was still on the scene. Those who had learned directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching the people, and that early in the game, you still had the same thing we had during the Old Testament days. People who would take God's word and deliberately twist it, contort it, distort it, so that they could mess up the thinking, the attitude, the position, the hearts, the minds of people who had made a decision to follow Christ, to follow God. And so here we go. These people, right then, that early in the process, doing the same thing that so many people have done for so long. trying to take the word of God, adding things to it that they knew went against God's teachings, taking things away that they knew constituted part of God's teaching, twisting the very thing that the arch enemy, Satan, does, twisting, distorting, deliberately misinterpreting God's word for the purpose of leading his people astray so that they could then lead the people away from God so that they would no longer walk with God. Can 21st century Christians, people who never walked with God nor walked with the disciples and the apostles who were taught directly by the Lord Jesus Christ, can we in this day and time be deceived? The answer is yes. Can Christians today be bewitched? The answer is yes. So I spent time letting you know, bringing it from Scripture and accurately, correctly, thoroughly interpreting the Scripture to let you know that Christians are not gods. But for the benefit of people who may have been disappointed at the idea of not being gods, I've begun a discussion where I'm sharing with you the truth of who God has said we are. Now, remember, just in a very, very brief summary, when we talk about the fact that we're not gods, I know some of you think about what you read in Psalm and you're thinking, wait a minute, God did say that. And you think about what you read, comment that Jesus made as written by the Apostle John. And I know that some of you weren't with us when we talked about this, but essentially, when he referenced the word gods in the book of Psalm, God was literally referring to people who had been put in place in a system that he had developed, that he had created, where someone who had a case, an argument, a qualm with someone else could bring their case to a body of people who were supposed to hear that case and then pass judgment, make a decision about that case based on the principles laid out by God, because they were representing him as judge. Since God would not be here on the throne so that people were looking at him and listening to him, he had a system set up where people could have other humans to go to, humans who would represent him. And in representing him, they were supposed to be hearing the entire matter and rendering the decision that God himself would have made were he here on the throne hearing each case. These people were not supposed to be biased. They were not supposed to be partial. They were supposed to be just, fair, honest. And in the book of Psalm, where God referenced that whole issue of calling them gods or judges, even adding that they were sons of the Most High God, he really came down on them because they were not being fair, honest, and impartial or just. And so he asked that question, have I not called you gods? And he said that, you know, you're all gods. And then he went on to expand on that. Sons of the Most High. And so when the Lord Jesus said, has the scripture not said, I have called you gods? He was referring to that part where God said, you are sons. You are all sons of the Most High. Because again, in Psalm 82, verse 6, one sentence, the same sentence, embraces the word gods and the phrase sons of the Most High. Verse 6 says, I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. So when the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 34-35, I have said, he referenced this same scripture, I have said, you are gods. He went on to talk about his role as a son of God. Because they were claiming, the Jews who refused to believe in him were wanting to kill him, stone him to death, because he had claimed to be the son of God, which would have made him God. And so he pointed out to them, hey, look, isn't it written in your law? I have said you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, this is it. He did call them gods, and that's what it was written in their law. The scripture did say, I have called you, I have said you are gods. And his question, asked in verse 36, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own? Very own what? Very own son. And sent into the world. Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said I am God's son. So when the Lord Jesus in verse 34 references Psalm 82 and says, is it not written in your law, I have said you are God's, he is referencing specifically verse 6, which equates gods with sons of the Most High. And he's making it clear to them that their own scripture says that people can be sons of God. And if they can be sons of God, then surely he who was set apart in a way much more special and unique than the way in which they have been set apart, if they could be sons of God, and of course, in Psalm 82, that was the case. These folks who Jesus was talking to, these Jews who refused to believe in him, were not sons of the Most High. He was not saying they were. He was saying he was and is son of God. So you might say, well, if he was son of God and that says he's God, a God, why can't we be God, since we are also sons of God, children of God? Because the New Testament doesn't call you gods. They were called gods in the Old Testament to the extent that, as I've said before, they were made judges, literal judges, who would sit on, of course, they would be meeting, you know, at the gates and places like that. But, of course, in American times now, the judges sit on the bench in the courtroom. Exact same role. The exact same role. And we are not those judges who sit on the bench. There are some Christians who do serve as judges. Some. But the vast majority of people who are Christians do not serve as judges. We don't sit on a court. Whether it's a lower court, an appellate court, a Supreme Court, we do not sit on a court and govern as judges. We don't do it. So we're not gods in that sense. What does the New Testament call us? It calls us Christians. We're called saints. We're called children of God. Let me focus on something else. Let me resume now what I've been sharing with you so that, you know, you realize you don't have to be upset, disappointed that we're not gods. Look, Alexander the Great considered him a god and he's dead. Napoleon considered himself a god and he's dead. The pharaohs of Egypt considered themselves gods. They're dead. The Caesars of Rome considered themselves gods, and they're dead. Now, let me ask you this. How many of them do you expect to see in heaven? Or when the new earth and the new heavens and the new earth are here and the new Jerusalem is here, how many of those people that I just called out do you expect to see there? Look, don't get all upset about wrong titles. Look at what God calls you and be happy with that. Happy about that. As I pointed out before, one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of people make, including people who follow Christ, is becoming disgruntled, dissatisfied with not having more. God calls us what he calls us, and someone comes along and says, "You are this." And we want to be that. And that's what we want to be considered, and that's what we want to be called. And I'm telling you, we need to learn to be satisfied with all that God gives us. Eve had been given so much from the moment of her creation, and she became dissatisfied when her cunning enemy persuaded her that God had shortchanged her and had not given her everything he should have given her. And so she set out after listening to him, Satan, the devil speaking through the serpent, to make herself more than God had made her. And that is a huge mistake that so many humans have made down through the ages and are still making today. Find out what God says you are. Find out who he says you are. And go into it with your mind made up that you are going to truly be satisfied with all God has given you, with all God is making you, with all God is saying you are. All right, so we took a look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, and we pointed out that God has made us a kingdom and priests. I know, as I said before, that there are translations that say he has made us kings and priests, but that's not really accurate. That's not an accurate translation. And again, don't get upset because it doesn't read the way you're accustomed to it reading. Don't get upset about it because it's coming from a version or a translation that you are not accustomed to reading. As I've shared before, as people have delved more into archaeology, they found more about manuscripts, older manuscripts that they have searched and searched and searched and studied and investigated. Over the years, they've been able to make discoveries about translations, about original languages, or those most closely associated with the original languages, that they've been able to come up with more accurate translations. And so, you know, if the version that you prefer to read reads a little differently than the NIV, which I normally read from and am reading from today, don't get upset about that. Yeah, don't allow yourself to be upset about that. Let me tell you, the key to it is to desire truth. And one of the things that some people, some of us do, in the pursuit of truth is we try to find the most accurate translations available. And we don't knock anyone who is not trying to do that. For instance, I know that a lot of people really, really love using the King James Version. The reality is, the fact is, the King James Version is not the most accurate translation available today. There are a number of translations that are much more accurate than the King James Version. I still say, if the King James Version is the translation that you prefer, I say keep reading it. If you'd like to start looking at different translations in addition to reading the King James Version, that is a great way to approach it. So don't allow yourself to get upset. You know, don't allow anyone else to get you upset because you're hearing the scriptures read from a translation other than the one of your choice. You may prefer a translation that you know is more accurate than other translations. Don't get upset with other people who don't choose the more accurate translation. Look, there are so many things going on in this world that we have so much more to be concerned about. We do not need to be wasting time and energy exalting ourselves above someone else because they do or don't use any particular translation. Come on, I know we can do better than that when it comes to loving each other. So let's stop passing judgment on each other. Let's stop exalting ourselves above one another because we do or don't use a particular translation. Let's flow together in love. Get the word read, get it understood, move forward. So that's it. We have been made a kingdom of priests. Now, take a look at, and as I mentioned before, I know that a lot of the translations that say we are kings use the Greek word basileus. But that's not the correct word in that context. In that context, the correct word is basilean, a kingdom. Kings, basileus. Kingdom, basilean. Basilean is the word actually used there. And so it really is kingdom and not kings. And don't be upset. You know, I know we want to go for all we can go for. But don't be upset. Now stay with us. We're royal. We've been told that we're going to be ruled. We're going to be rulers. I'm going to bring that back to you. Yeah, don't jump the gun. Don't shoot from the hip. Stop shooting. Let's just follow this out. See where God's word has taken us. I think we'll be satisfied.